At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
In the Donna Adelson murder for hire trial, jurors are being hit with two powerful threads of evidence. Words she never thought anyone would hear. And the pressure the FBI deliberately applied to shake her family's foundation. We're going to hear a lot of that testimony. We're going to hear Donna in her own words today, having these conversations. Miss, I just don't know anything. I was just at the come and go. That's all. First, the wiretaps, Donna's own voice talking about cemetery plots, Charlie being on trial for his life, even searching for countries with no extradition. That was just a vacation, remember? At one point, she thinks the call is over even, but the recorder keeps rolling, capturing her raw, unfiltered thoughts. We'll hear that, too. It's the kind of slip that doesn't just hint at guilt, it screams it. Then there's also the bump that undercover FBI agent handing Donna that note on the street, pretending to be a former cellmate of the hitman, demanding that hush money. That single move set off the chain reaction, calls, nervous texts, and Charlie scrambling to buy concert tickets, and even a limo for Catherine McBona, trying to keep everyone in line, I guess.
I kind of want to, how do you get a job like that where you get to be somebody undercover? Do you have to be trained in law enforcement or can you just be like, I'll go up and hand so-and-so a note?
It's a good question for Robin.
I'm going to ask him. Do you mind? I want to know. That can be my side hustle. Well,
just don't do it like in the middle of like another conversation. Hey, by the way, what? No, I mean, I think it'd be an interesting thing to ask because we'll be discussing it. I'm sure we'll be discussing this case a bit on on Monday. I probably just depends on the case. There's plenty of people where you become, you wear a wire. You know, that's essentially, so there's wearing a wire and there's being an undercover agent. That's two different things. One's doing a bump and you are, you're impersonating someone. Because that's essentially what happened here. This person was pretending to be part of this hit team, if you will, or part of the gang. But in reality, they were FBI.
Well, I've got a friend where I live. I'm not going to say where because I don't know if she's still doing this or not. But she looks very young for her age. So she goes online and pretends to be an underage girl.
Yeah, that's great when people do that to catch those fuckers. No, I'm all up. Does she like work with one of those like those teams that does that stuff?
Yes, but she's cool. In law enforcement and great. You do not want to fuck with her. She will pound you into the ground.
No, I love that
stuff. He actually shows up and meets them.
That's great. I mean,
it's almost like a, what's the guy, have a seat?
Chris Hansen.
Yes, Chris Hansen guy. Yep. It's almost that exact scenario, but it's local. It's where I live. So
he's, Chris would be a good one for us to have on. We'll talk about that. Somebody's got to go after and get him. It'd be a fun guest because he's doing a thing on True Blue. That's his online thing. And it's I don't know if it's called Have a Seat or it's something like that, where he does. And you can, there's a gazillion of them. So if you like to catch a predator, Chris is still doing that on True Blue. But let's see if we can get him on some morning. To discuss all that. That would be fun. Because that's, so together, all of this, the wiretaps, the bump show, the family not blindsided by false accusations, but circling the wagons. They're desperate to stay ahead of the inevitable. And for jurors, it's a front row seat to both the worlds and actions that may seal Donna Adelson's fate. We got a lot to go through today that is going to, I just think, continue to dig the hole. And in a lot of these clips, I think what's going to be important to watch, if you're watching us on YouTube, by the way, if you're listening to us on the podcast platform, great. But if you want to watch, because there's a lot of visuals in this story, check us out on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. Watching Donna Adelson's reactions. And that's a real big tell. Earlier today, I had a conversation with Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent and chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program. And we were discussing Donna's tells of the way that she reacts to different things. And an observation that was made was when people are on the stand and testifying against her, which has so far been everyone, her reaction to her children, her reaction to non-law enforcement has been very different than law enforcement. She's more attuned, but when she's in the corner and, you know, here's police officer, they got you, Donna, they're holding the truth to her power, I say in air quotes, she can't stand it. She literally like falls asleep. She's acting like she's so drowsy and she's blocking it. Is that what she's said?
Deflecting
today?
Deflecting.
Yep. Deflecting. Yeah. Yep.
Deflecting and the blocking behavior is so telling. I mean, it's so funny and interesting to me that someone who thinks of themselves as this mastermind is so utterly oblivious to how they are presenting themselves, yet that is the most important thing to them.
It's a huge defense mechanism. And I say that because my dad used to be the same way. And he's no longer on this plane, thank goodness. But this man spent a lot of time being like a tough guy out in public. But then if somebody actually saw how he had treated his family, it was just like, whoa, put up the defensive, you know, and it's when you see it, when you know it, when you viscerally know how somebody is and you see them putting on this act, you're just like, oh, it is so
beautiful. Yeah. And it can flow the other way too, and I think this is probably how Donna played it, you know, where it's just, oh my goodness. I said the other day, I bet there's a ton of people who used to come up to Charlie and Wendy and run away, Robert, run away, Rob. Good for Rob. That we're saying, oh, you are so blessed to have such a great mom and dad, or probably more mom. She just cares so much about you. She's just because to the outside world, it looks like, God, I gotta pick up with that mom or dad. Like, look how involved they are. But you don't have to, because the ones that are doing that shit are insane. You can't keep up to that level with anybody,
right?
In any sort of healthy level, unless it's like unhealthy obsession. And that's where it's like, oh, okay, you know, having that little space there, having the breathing room, having the ability for your children to learn who they are so they can become themselves and not just become little extensions of you, which is what narcissists believe, and they hold those cords like the NSYNC album. What was that? Pop celebrity?
Pop it.
We all work the damn format when this was the album.
Do you know the worst thing?
No strings attached.
Well, yeah, puppets.
The most obvious one. I was thinking of Pop. I don't know why, but that's how it is. It's like they're marionette, and I feel like, you know, Robert's, his strings have been cut for a long time. I think Charlie's like connected with super glue and chains, and I think Wendy is probably, you know, she's got half the strings attached now. They're getting a little bit frayed, and she might drop off more at any day. But there's still enough that's keeping her there that I think is fear of, what is this marionette going to do? Mm-hmm. Is this marionette going to like suddenly just start really whipping you around with those few little strands that are there? Because she can.
Yeah.
Because she certainly can. Because she can totally... If she wants to implicate Wendy, if she feels she's going down and Wendy does something that pisses Donna off more than just not talk to her for 2 years, Donna could get Wendy in prison for the rest of her life. And I think Wendy knows that. I think that's why Wendy was very cautious on the stand with a lot of I don't knows, saying just enough of basically everything she's ever said in the past with nothing added in.
Yeah.
One of the things, and I'm not sure that we're going to share any of it today, but yeah, in these phone calls, mm-hmm, Donna does a lot of pissing and moaning about Wendy and how Wendy doesn't do enough and how Wendy doesn't stand by that. You know, they've got to do all this stuff for Wendy and Wendy does nothing for her parents and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was, if I were Wendy and I heard my mom talking about me like that, I'd be like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and there's something, you know, when you are talking about somebody and you don't think that they will ever hear the conversation, and wow,
like at a live broadcast and a Marty, which is like a broadcast thing we used to have, and then you'd forget it's on and they can hear everything you are saying back at the studio and you're bitching about the board op or the person. Yeah, it's or just not hanging up your phone.
Tony.
Yeah.
What?
No, what? I'm back to you. I'm giving an example.
I thought you were about to tell a story about Stacy there for a moment.
Yeah.
I got no story. Nope.
No story. Well, I always have a story. I have some incriminating audio of a former person I was with, and I will never do anything with it. But in this audio piece that I have, is a segment of this person talking about a relative horribly. And I thought, okay, other than what I got of him that made me say, I'm moving the hell out of here, I'm getting out, is this little, like, probably a 30-second snippet of him just bashing a family member. It could collapse everything if I shared that.
Ooh, I like
everything.
That.
That's a nice nugget.
Cherry, yes, on the top of the infidelity that I discovered. But yeah.
Yeah. That's
just
even
trash. Actually, trashing two people.
Wow, it's a two double people. Nugget. That's like one of those like Franken nuggets from McDonald's, where it's like, oh, these are connected in some sort of weird way, right. And you're like, I really want to bite into this, but I'm afraid there might be a beak connecting.
There might be something in there I shouldn't be eating. Yeah. So it's amazing how people will talk about somebody, not realizing that someone else could hear it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It changes the whole dynamic.
That's where you just kind of got to adopt. And I think a lot of us probably adopted it early on, of you just kind of live like the mic is hot, you know, at least back, you know, when we couldn't swear on the air and things like that. But I think it's something we all learned at some point. I mean, early, you know, by being burned by it or something.
I said fuck on the air once, but it was 9/11, but I said fuck.
Well, we all said fuck on the air on 9/11.
Right, but,
yeah.
But after that, I was very coherent about my language on air. Like, wow, the fact that I could do that, even though I'd been trained not to, it's sobering. But yeah, you do have to live like everything is a hot mic, because now it is. when you're out in public, even like here in my apartment, we're being recorded as we speak because I have a camera.
Yeah. Well, yes. And we're recording you, by the way. Well, this is not just for the three of us for a Skype discussion.
Wait, Casey. What?
We're broadcasting this and I'm profiting on it. You didn't even know that. You thought we were just talking every day for
the Truman Show. What the hell?
That's why check comes to you from me. It's not just because I like you and we're friends. Yeah. Right. Sorry. You know, but
see, and look at what you made me do. If you're watching the video, I just went blurry. It's my defense mechanism. Like, woo, I will be blurry now. You can no longer film me without my permission.
Exactly. Let's
You're being filmed everywhere. So if you are out at a restaurant talking trash about somebody, that could come to light at some point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. No, so many places. It's it's spooky. I mean, I've heard of cases where they've gone to Amazon and reached out to the Alexa folks, and they're able to retrieve the recording or something of what was seen or what was listened to. You know, in a very specific timestamp on the date, which is kind of disturbing. You can go back exact. And I got Alexas all over the place. And I really don't give a shit because, I mean,
you're not doing anything.
I'm not doing anything. If anything, I think like, well, if I'm ever accused of anything, this could exonerate me from it because I got like, here I am, you know, debating nacho cheese in my kitchen or something.
So, God, you lead an exciting life.
I do. I really do. And so far, you know, Taco Bell is the best. But, you know, if you got to get the at-home stuff, that Rico's is pretty good. Let's go to Donna's, the first part we got here. And that I accidentally forgot to hang up a moment. This is where the mask starts to slip the day after Charlie Adelson was convicted of orchestrating Dan Markell's murder. Calls his mother from jail. And after they speak, he hangs up. But Donna doesn't. What you're about to hear is Donna Adelson, unaware she's still being recorded, talking to herself out loud about legal moves, emotional breakdowns, and financial logistics, like a great, wonderful, smart, narcissistic, loving mother does. The unfiltered nature of this moment makes it one of the most telling in the entire case. Get your popcorn and enjoy.
Skip ahead to May 4th, 2016. Is there another final attempt at a bump?
Sorry to get this wrong, but it's a lot of things that we have to do with the predatory time frame. So one of them involves taking care of some things to Roman, taking care of some things to Steinberg, who's just not a full day, and Susan was nice enough for the closure. She could only gather everything up and then drive down. So she and Rick got here about, I don't know, 2 minutes before you called, that she could work with them. She got a couple of hours of taking care of her own. So, we're working on that.
Sorry to do that to y'all with the headphones, but a couple questions just to follow up on what she said so far. She says she's taking care of a couple things for Roman. Who's Roman?
Roman is the child of Charlie Adelson, young child.
Okay. And she mentioned Susan and Rick on there. Do you know who those people are?
They're close friends of theirs.
Okay. Sorry. Continue publishing.
Just a lot. You're going to be okay. You're going to get out of that stupid room. Once you do, you'll start to feel a little bit better. I know that. And when I have something that I do need to tell you, I'll speak again. Okay?
Sorry, one more time. She mentions Dan here. Obviously not Dan Markell. Do you know who she's referencing?
Yes, ma'am.
What Dan is she referencing?
Dan Rashbaum. Who was Charlie's attorney?
All right, thank you. Continue, please.
So, if this, I'll let you know what time to call him. Can you hear me, Charlie? You can't hear me, right? Charlie, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Hairball.
I hate when that happens. crying?
No, it's like cups.
Okay. The fourth time, except they cut the line each time. They should charge every time you reconnect. They say that doesn't happen.
Todd, pause it for a second. I just want to read this aloud for the podcast listeners. And I know she'll ask questions about it. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can, on the screen, it shows the transcript. But Harvey says, it's $5 every time if he calls here. And she'll tell you he doesn't have anything. They receive. And then Donna interrupts. You pay for every minute, but they keep charging every time you reconnect. They say that doesn't happen. And then Mr. Shargan says, is he? And then Harvey, yeah. Donna, except he's in this room, Mr. Shargan, indiscernible. Continue on.
In this room, that I move. So the psychologist wants to make sure that he kills himself. The psychologist finally came. And he said to her, if you leave me here, no light, no nothing, but it's the men's lock.
Pause it. Said he came to her and said, if you leave me here, I'll kill myself. There's no light. There's no nothing. I'm in a cement block. This is Charlie talking about life in prison. At least let me go back to my cell so at least I can see where I am. It also means, you know, please don't leave me here. And she spoke to him for a little bit and she says, no, you're perfectly fine. I know that. You just have to go back. And, you know, I've got a few of these reports, that just try and play. We'll listen to what the attorneys have to say.
See where I am. You know, please don't leave me here. And something from then, she says, no, you're going to fine. I know that. I just have to go back and, you know, I've got a few of these reports I have to write. Once I get them written and then submit them and they get them approved, you'll be able to go back. But you just go back like that in an hour. But it's all just all spirit from inside. All you see is yourself. The light never shut off. Day or night, the rest of life is gone. All night. He said, I just want to go back to where I was. But there's different people, different hair in their box.
So if Donald Adelson had nothing to hide, why did her unguarded voice in there kind of sound something like preparing for a life underground?
Yeah. Normal. Well, I'm not going to say normal. Innocent people might be the better word. Don't plan things like that. They don't talk with that kind of intention.
No.
Well, at least I don't. I mean, I'm not planning to escape to Vietnam, although I have read that Vietnam really is a lovely place to retire and live.
Try the iced tea. It's delicious.
Well, I'm telling you, the food, the land, mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. I love Vietnamese food. I love it. I don't know enough about the country today to know to say a word about it. If it would be a place I'd want to go or not go or anything at all. And that's me not being as worldly as maybe I should be. I used to watch No Reservations for my world.
I miss Anthony Bourdain.
Understanding. And it's been a while. I miss Anthony Bourdain too. It looked like a lovely place from the visits that he had when he did the show years ago. But
mm-hmm. Yeah.
In this second half of that same unintentional recording, Donna says the quiet part out loud. She talks about extradition. And this is interesting because she has said, we were just, me and Harvey wanted to go. And I don't know why she's talking like that now. That's actually how Bob Motta does the voice. That's Bob Motta's impression of Donna Adelson. I don't know why. I just started doing his. Mine is more, okay, so I got to get into my character. We should have a Battle of the Adelsons on the air Sunday.
Nice.
Wouldn't that be great? We could try and out-Adelson each other. So she's talking about
I was just, we just wanted to go. And we had such a lovely time there in our younger years. I needed to get away, which could be understandable. I mean, if your family just went through all this and you have nothing to hide, I get it. You want to go on a vacation, but this pretty much shoots that whole story to shit, because here she is before they attempt this, talking about how she and Harvey have been looking up and over places where they could go, where they might not be sent back. And she wasn't, spitballing. This days later, she booked the flight to Vietnam. Take a look.
I wasn't looking it up over and over. If there's change, if there is extradition from Vietnam, especially if we've looked at all the places, I mean, I could go to Korea and China, but there's no extradition. Looking for places, there's no extradition.
Ding, ding, ding. Oh.
You guys, how often when you're planning a trip somewhere, do you look to see if there's extradition?
Every trip I plan, I look in states, I look in counties. I'm like, okay, if I were to commit a heinous crime on this trip, where can I not be brought back from?
Right. That's not something I look forward to. That's not something.
It's a box in Expedia, non-extradition.
Right. I mean, what the hell? This is so incriminating. Every day there's something. It's like, what? Can we just stop the trial? Can we just go, okay, every box has been checked. Can we just get on with our lives?
Okay, but here's the argument. What if you're there and you know everything looks horrible? And let's for a moment suspend reality.
Are you really going down that road, Tony?
Let's for a moment suspend reality, which is what I just said. So suspend reality. All these things that are so damning and point to Donna having some involvement here, let's pretend that everything is some sort of weird misunderstanding, okay? And legitimately, let's say it is. And you know this, and you're like, oh my God, everything looks like I did this. But the reality is you actually did not, and this is just really, really damning. And you're like, I gotta run, because they're going to. No one is gonna think that this is all a coincidence. They're going to get me, even though I didn't do it. So I got to get the hell out of here.
Well, okay, that's a bit of a big stretch that my brain can't comprehend, because there's so many things. Like, is your luck really that bad?
No.
That everything is pointing at you from every direction. But if your luck is that bad and you suck that much at life that everything just points to you and everyone throws you under the bus, I could see running, I guess.
The woman,
I could see it.
Put cash in the washing machine.
Yeah, exactly. And she forgot to hang up the phone when she was on a prison phone call with her son, and they're talking about all this stuff. Come on.
Well, okay, you guys. No, just a second. So there was this really shitty job that I had after COVID. It was a work from home job, and we were on Zoom, obviously, and I was about to what?
I whispered, OnlyFans.
No, because I would have made a shit ton more money on OnlyFans. Are you kidding? God, no, this was horrible. I put myself on mute. What I did was I muted the camera and not the microphone. So, because there were two separate, their system, it wasn't necessarily Zoom, but you could mute.
So you muted the wrong camera. One.
Yes.
Okay.
And I got up and I went, God, what a bunch of fucking idiots. I worked in radio for 20 years. I know what a hot mic is.
But not in your house on your computer necessarily.
Right. Yeah. So, the best of us. But yeah, I ended up getting a talking to about 20 minutes later when I came back from my break. They're like, we heard what you said. Oh, fuck. Okay.
Was it a throwaway job to you, though? It wasn't something you're going to be doing forever, right?
Well, I didn't have any alternatives. So it was not good.
Yeah. I just think if you've done some stuff you shouldn't have done and your son's already in prison, you just make sure that you cover your fucking ass.
Right. Right. And yeah. And that was, well, but that again, it's the woman who doesn't understand technology.
Yeah.
Well, it's the woman who's so arrogant. She thinks she can't do anything wrong, which is why she's never learned from any of her own mistakes, which is why she makes such infantile mistakes with everything she does. Because she couldn't be wrong. If she's ever been corrected, she never accepted it. If she realized there was something wrong, she couldn't deal with it. So she just blocked it out. So that's why these idiots make such glaring mistakes. And you'd think by this age, it's like, either it's dementia or you are just that stupid and you're that wrapped up in yourself and your ego that, I mean, that's what takes so many of these people down is that it's the ego. And I think that's what's happening here. Really quick, before we go to the next one, I have a inappropriate swearing story.
Uh-oh.
I think I've shared this one with you, Todd. I don't know if you were there at the station. You'd already left.
Okay.
So where, what station? You don't have to give call letters, but what city?
This was sunny 97.
Today's in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Okay. Today's best variety from the 80s, 90s, and today. A fresh remix for your work day. With the no-repeat workday guarantee.
And Delilah at night.
Yes, and Delilah at night actually plays into this. So, we're coming back into, it was like high school football. And I was rejoining Delilah. I was trying to like do it at midnight or whatever, or the top of the hour. So whatever hour it was. And so I've been like playing, as I usually would, go and grab music that we don't normally play. And suddenly it's an R&B AC station
for
5 or 10 minutes.
Bump and grind?
No, it was more like Babyface and that sort of like Brian McKnight. I don't know. Anyway, I'm ready to go back into Delilah, hit the jingle. And, you know, back to Delilah on sunny 97. And then pot Delilah. And you're supposed to hear the... Hi, everyone. It's Delilah. I'm sitting in a bathtub right now with rose petals and a toaster ready to tip on in. It just depends what song we play next as to what happens. You know, something like that. But I pot it up and there's nothing. Dead air. My mic's still hot.
Of course.
Where the fuck is Delilah? Delilah.
Did we ever? I think I remember that. Did we get a complaint on that?
No, we didn't. No one said a word. I don't think you knew about it.
I think you told me about it.
I told you about it later, like 15 years later.
Tony.
Yeah, I like nobody caught it. I don't know how nobody caught it. I thought, oh, shit. But for whatever reason, nobody caught it. Maybe I fielded the phone calls while they called in because I was the only one there.
You were pretending to be the manager saying, I will handle this.
Actually, I don't remember if I did that or not.
I'm sure you did.
I'm sure you did too. It's like something I would have done.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can tell you yes.
All right, let's go back to Donna. This wasn't a theory. Days later, FBI agents confirmed that Donna booked a one-way flight to Vietnam via Dubai, both non-extradition countries. She was intercepted at the jet bridge just moments before boarding. Take a look.
We hear on this call that there appear to be some plans to potentially go to Vietnam. Are you familiar with that?
I am.
And based on this recording, did you do some investigative work to try to look into whether that was in fact really going to happen?
I did.
Okay. And what did you learn?
We didn't hear the call for a couple of days, so it was a few days later. But I did check with another government agency to try to find out if there was an international travel planned. And ultimately on the 13th, I believe it was, I was told that yes, there was travel plans made.
And were the travel plans to Vietnam?
they were to go through Dubai, then to Vietnam.
And is Vietnam, in fact, a non-extradition country?
It is.
And is Dubai also non-extradition?
That's correct. It is.
Well, that's some wait a minute, though, for somebody who doesn't know about what money laundering is, that's somebody who is planning really well on Expedia or Travelocity or whatever. I mean, seriously, that's doing some research and going, okay, so I'm going to make sure I fly through here and through here and through here. That's smart.
Good point.
That's really smart. So I almost wonder, was somebody else involved doing that? Because she doesn't strike me as the kind of person who would think that far ahead.
One of the things that was recorded that I caught while I was clipping this stuff up was she was saying that she might call Wendy to do some research. And her friend that she was talking to said, are you a little afraid she might say something to somebody? So she may have gone out and gotten help from somebody to figure this stuff out.
There it is.
And that's when she was kind of bitching about Wendy and all that kind of stuff.
I think Wendy may be next. I feel bad for her kids.
I do too, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, should she face justice? Without a doubt, if she has anything to do with this. But I mean, the biggest victims here are her kids. I mean, talk about, you know, your family. And none of it needed to happen. None of it needed to happen.
Well, it's not like he was this horribly abusive ex and doing all these horrible things. He just wanted to see his kids.
Oh, well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I mean, the more you look at this and the more just how dark Donna got with the Jew shit. I mean, oh my God, like this is an anti-Semitic family. I mean, without a doubt, if you're joking about, I mean, why you would ever in your wildest fucking dreams bring up that.
Yeah.
That you're going to dress the kids in Hitler Youth costumes. They're being brought up Jewish. And this is very, and he's an active Jew and he's practicing. I mean, my God, what the fuck is wrong with you? And these are your grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just that flippant about it. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a bunch of anti-Semitic Jew-hating people in Florida. that's what this family is. And
well, that's not that uncommon in Florida. I can tell you that.
I mean, there's that hatred there with so many idiots. And that I think is probably the driving factor in this. And I think maybe what would have pushed her over this edge where it's not just, you know, she can't see the kids, but he's a Jew. I mean, I would not be surprised if that ran into her fucked up line of thinking as, you know, this is going to justify it more in my mind. And I'm doing the right thing because of this, you know, and just.
It's all so unnecessary and just such a slice of horrific pie, just the worst part of society we're seeing in this family.
Dressed up in someone that looks like so many people we know or, you know, we know of or see out and about all the time. There's Donnas everywhere. They are everywhere, everywhere you want to be. When they tried to take Donna's phone, she fought it. Like literally, not metaphorically, not emotionally, not physically. She physically resisted federal agents at the airport, gripping her phone and trying to keep it out of reach. Take a look at this.
When you seized the defendant's cell phone, did she physically resist you?
Yes, she did.
Could you tell us about the physical resistance that she offered?
Yes, I reached out to the phone and when I grabbed a hold of it, she pulled it away and said no, and then kept holding it away from me, trying to turn away from me. Another officer who was there arresting her actually grabbed her arm and held it, and then we were able to finally take the phone out of her hand, but she was still trying to keep it from us.
Okay, that is behavior of like a 14-year-old when mom goes, okay, give me the phone. That's enough. Give me the phone. No, no.
Have you seen the video? I mean, that of her at the airport. I mean, she's just so she's acting like a 14-year-old in a whatever, how old she is, 70-some-year-old woman's body. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how she thinks, too. That's the thing. Donna Adel, like, as you know, you think, you know, mastermind, matriarch. No, she's a catty 14-year-old bitch.
Yeah, she's a mean girl.
She's a mean girl. I mean, she's someone who just, you know, out for herself, always has been, always will be, never matured beyond that. And I mean, how genius are 14-year-olds? I would not put it past most 14-year-old girls if you said you need to launder money that they wouldn't put it in there with a Tide Pod after taking a little like swallow of one first.
Yeah.
You know, she believes that she requires or deserves the very best of everything. Like, yes. She does nothing wrong. She just deserves everything.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that's and
entitled.
Yeah, completely. And that's the thing. Once, I mean, that's how you can under, like, you keep looking at her going, like, how does she look? That's her prism. And when you look at her through that prism, every time you think of her, her actions make more sense. They're almost predictable at a certain point. Yeah. Because it's like, well, what would this person do if I were thinking this way? And that's what's always interesting about it, because everybody's prism is different. You know, it's like if you had like a prism and you cracked it, because I mean, everybody's prism's cracked a little. Mm-hmm. And oh, okay, well, if you that, oh, I get why this does that if you study it for a bit. And oh, this, and it can be done in a very interesting way with this, with crime, but can also be done just in your own life with human beings around you, and go, why are they seeing it this way? And it's not that it's right or wrong. It's like, oh, as you can understand how they got from point A to point B, then they make a little more sense rather than just you're wrong or this or that. Anyway, an interesting look at that. Let's do another one here. There's, physical evidence here too. Inside a 2014 planner recovered during the investigation, Donna had made a little interesting note. A note that was Dan Markell's license plate. The same car the killers tracked. The same vehicle Dan was sitting in when he was shot. Check this out.
In the 2014 planner, did Mrs. Adelson keep a lot of personal information and identifying information for members of her family and even, I think, some friends in there, too?
She did.
And as part of that information in the 2014 planner, did you locate any information specific to Dan Markell's vehicle?
We did.
What information was that?
It's the 08 Accord on the left middle of the page right there. It's the 08 Accord, and the tag number is 584YBM.
That's Dan Markell's tag number at the time of his murder?
It is.
Same vehicle that the killers pursued?
That's correct.
Why are you writing that down, Donna?
Well, and that's the thing. She would have no reason to document that. I mean, do you know, other than maybe, let's say your daughter has a car, which she doesn't drive yet, but do you know her license plate number? Yes, because it's your daughter. Would you know anybody else in the family? Probably not.
I don't know my own.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. I don't. My daughter does, though, actually. She, like, what's my license plate? She knows it. I don't know. But
you don't know other family members. That's not something you might know. Right, well, yeah. They drive a gray Honda. Yeah,
sure. Sure.
And not, maybe you would know what the model number is, maybe. Or if it was just a nondescript car, like, oh, it was a Mazda 626. That's all I know.
Yeah, it's obviously it's information that she needed, because it needed to go somewhere for someone to follow this person to their demise. That's really, you know, what it comes down to.
Can she have a stalking charge in there too? I mean,
geez. I don't believe she does, but you know, anything's possible, I would say. There's another piece I want to go to here in Donnaland, and we'll run through the whole thing, and we'll stop if we need to. Jurors, of course, in this case, they're getting their crash course in one of the FBI's favorite tools, the bump. It's the classic undercover move designed to stir the pot, to make suspects nervous, to get them talking, and most importantly, to get them on record. In this case, agents already had wiretaps rolling on the Adelson family's phones to push things a little bit further along. An undercover FBI agent approached Donna on a public street, slipped her that note claiming he was a former cellmate or hitman of Sigfrido Garcia, and said he knew about the murder plot, demanding $5,000 to stay quiet. From there, the bump snowballed. Phone calls, text messages straight to Donna, even contact with the family's dental practice. The idea was simple: apply pressure and see how the Adelsons react. And react they did. In the aftermath, Charlie Adelson is heard scrambling, buying his girlfriend, Catherine McBonough, and Garcia concert tickets and even a limousine rental. I wonder what concert it was. And if he could kind of patch the cracks that were forming under the FBI scrutiny. Assistant State Attorney George Kappelman walked Special Agent Patrick Sanford through this chain of events for the jury. Let's hear that exchange, starting with the text message that set the whole damn thing off.
I'm gonna skip ahead to May 4th, 2016. Is there another final attempt at a bump?
Yes, there is.
Could you tell us about that, please?
A text message was sent from the undercover to Mrs. Adelson's cell phone at early in the morning, late at night, 2:09 a.m.
What's the content of the message that was sent?
So the text read, "So you don't take me serious. You think I'm playing. You have some puta call me to see if I'm for real. If you think what Katie baby daddy did for you can't come back, you're fucking crazy. I want the," there's actually a dollar sign there. "Now or I'm going," sorry, "or I'm going after the 100K exclamation point."
And are there a few calls generated by that particular bump?
Yes, there was.
All right. Could you set up SS for us?
Yes, it's the same day as the text message. Text message was, like I said, was at 2:09 a.m. on the 4th. That morning at 9:08, Katie McBanwell calls Charlie Adelson.
Okay, so this would be right at the, like, oh, I see. So about 7 hours later.
Correct. About 7 hours later that morning.
All right. Thank you. For this one, we'll publish SS starting at 12:45, please. And I think this call is going to be a follow-up on the gift for Garcia. Is that right?
I believe it is. Okay. I don't believe they've talked yet.
All right. Let's play SS.
It's in my first column.
So you haven't opened, up the public space?
Why?
There's a...
I'll open it here. I'm scaring you, bro.
No, it's not like I put a fucking hamster in there.
Well, please come here. I don't want to get
in the back. I got a guinea pig for his birthday.
Aww.
You've been in there for 3 weeks in your trunk.
You're an asshole. Okay, am I gonna get
him? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It was supposed to be a birthday present for somebody. If you know me, for his birthday.
It's gonna be swirl going on, so.
Okay. Well, if you're painting folders for me, or is he gonna do that?
I don't know.
Well, you're looking and you can tell me. Something about me say there's a very nice gift card in there.
Okay.
I try to think.
What's fucking in there, though?
I don't know.
If you know somebody says, he told me, oh my god, that sounds so loud. Because he's like, well, it could turn off all the phones here for private, right? If he took us out, he would pick him up for dinner, shit, whatever. Well, always does that. That's funny. and you told him to go follow. You need one of the deputy's presence, so that he can get you out of our presence. So you told me you're a deputy president. And I told you, you're not getting involved anymore. Like, get over it.
So I got it.
I have fucking been involved with
it. Well, guess what? I actually did.
Well, thank you.
So, you're welcome. So, open it up. If you think it's okay to give him the permission, he's old enough, then give him the present, okay?
What fucking topic office?
If you think it's not, then don't do it.
Just
make sure the shit's in the safe place. I got to run.
You got to run. Not fucking, like, supposed to be a topic.
Right? You're just throwing something harder in the shit with that tool.
On my cheek?
Is that what you said?
Huh?
Yes.
What'd you call it?
I thought you said we still cooking the water on the kids.
I smell it over here and my dog.
Oh,
look at all my food, y'all.
All right, don't forget to look it up.
Oh my God.
Can I quickly publish TT, please? Can you start at 455 on this one?
I got, he's got the drugs. He's fine. Let me get started on it. And it is, if you don't think it causes anything, you can tell him it's from DVD when you open up the present.
Okay.
Very important.
You carry that. I'm going to open it now before, I don't know if you're carrying me.
Was it in your car or is it your house?
It's in my house. But I did it.
Well, go fucking look what's in there and tell me if it's okay for a birthday present.
Okay.
All right.
What's my birthday present?
You get nothing. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Dude, I got you tickets to the concert. I know. Thank you. I thank you. Thank you.
Where's Amber? It's not your birthday. Is it? Wait, you went here.
Whatever.
Yes, yeah, so I feel better.
It's your other goddaughter. It's your goddaughter's birthday then.
What are you asking?
Oh.
I got all these people that want me to go shopping.
No, it's one more. He already knows my kids.
I get like 60-year-old women that all put through that saying, where's your kids? And they got them rather than they go to your shopping. You get a Father's Day card. Fucking amazing. Yeah, Daddy wants to be with your daughter. I got like 8 people that want to do that.
I don't want to be a doctor.
You don't want
to be a
doctor.
I don't want to be a
doctor.
You're the godfather. All right. All right. That one we've got Charlie Adelson mentioning that he purchased concert tickets and a limo for Catherine McBanawah.
Yes, ma'am, he did.
And McBanawah refers to her own child as Charlie Adelson's godchild. Is that right?
She did.
Let's play you, please. This is how I go to 10:30.
Well, pay back and everything like that, then people will go ahead and get to the money lent and they'll be paid back.
It's very interesting.
So that's really how people make a lot of money, is using other people's funds. To make it.
Oh, sure. It's a good way to do it.
So, we'll see. I mean, Alex says if you have a track record of 2 years, it will not be a problem raising capital at all. So, that's what
it is. Yeah, you're 6 tall. So, are you on your way to advocate yet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, is there anything else?
Yeah.
Okay, I just heard you saying this.
Just saying.
Yeah, but you're gonna be,
yeah.
Did you see somebody today, or was it?
Yeah, it was different, but I'll see you on Sunday, let's look.
You don't want to come down and see me tonight?
No.
Was it bad, or was it?
No. You're gonna be stressed.
I know, I could kind of talk to you, but like, you know, when I talk to you, you're not getting like appropriate responses.
Yeah.
So like, my stories, it just seems like the other, like,
yeah.
Did someone bother with you? That's why I said it. Well, I think it's important that you see it before Sunday.
Well, where exactly is the tomorrow? That is what's the law, the regulation. That's what they're very to consider. You need to know the people.
Well, I mean, Doug in the afternoon, I haven't texted. I haven't texted Adam yet. That's supposed to meet him at some point. It's just, I mean, I could set up the meeting with him at any time. I mean, do you want to pull up to my house in the morning or?
That might be a good idea.
I'll tell you what, I don't want to wait.
Yeah, I agree.
And then you wait, and something that could have been if it's in the fun early becomes something that doesn't get in the fun early, and then so all out of control.
Yeah, so maybe tomorrow.
So, what if we
make him go to breakfast or something? You want to meet Shelly for breakfast, Lucky? Yeah. You want us to come see you, right?
Well, traffic is. I need to find out.
Check your schedule and then we'll work something out.
Let me talk to you tomorrow.
We figure out your schedule. We're free until, until we get the kids.
So that's.
Yeah.
What wasn't said is very telling to me. But before I give what I think, what was your guys' reaction to, I guess, the whole thing, specifically Charlie, and just his demeanor, the whole damn thing.
I'm going to lean into what Todd said the other day, because now I was really feeling it. I was really picking up on the, and again, this is just conjecture. This is just us thinking. We don't know anything. We don't think.
Everything's allegedly. This is a discussion and nothing is factual.
But I was hearing, what's the word? I'm not flirtatious, but needing validation. That's just the entire demeanor of him talking to her was, I need you to need me. Does that make sense?
I want you to want me. Yeah.
I was the entire time. It was like, he is so needy here. He need, you know, just give me something, give me something, give me more. And that's what I was feeling. Wasn't so much the content. It was just this yearning I was getting from him.
And she was very like, well, you do mama, mama. You know, there was this, you know, I don't know. I still get that weird feeling with them, but obviously she didn't want to talk about anything. And
no.
Well, you find out what your schedule's like. Okay, honey.
It's very just classic behavior of this. I mean, he's this fixer. He's conditioned to if Donna has a problem, he has to fix it. If Donna spills milk, he has to wipe it up. If you know anything, and if it's not solved and there's still a lingering problem out here, he feels he's not doing his job and he's can't sleep. He's anxious. He is so anxious in that call about not the crime. It's about pleasing Donna.
Yep.
It's about making sure Donna feels okay. Cause he's
exactly.
You
know,
are you okay? Okay. Are you just saying that you're okay? What can I do? You know, can I do this? Then he's offering up like every solution in the book. And she's just,
And then she's sitting there with her little marionette strings going, mm-hmm, oh, I got. And that's where she gets the power. That, like, that was a fuel up for Donna right there. And him just, oh, bah, 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 bah. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. And she's just, she's in complete control. That is what that is. That's the narcissistic control. And Charlie is such conditioned, he's such at bay, he can't control this. His anxiety is going through the roof until he can fix this problem for mom. Because if you can't, it's like, oh my God, like, you don't, because then you're in the unknown and you don't know what's going to happen in the unknown. Is she going to blow up all of a sudden? Is something going to happen? You just, and the unknown is the worst when you're the anxious person.
Yeah, I hope I didn't steal your, Todd, I hope I didn't steal your take on it. But that entire time I just was, that's what I was feeling. Like watching this person that just needs so much from this one specific person.
No, I mean, it was really kind of, again, creepy.
Yeah.
Because I see, you know, once Tony talked about how he needed to, or you said he needed to be needed and he needed to be the fixer. And how are you doing? Like, is everything okay? What can we do? Let's get this taken care of. Let's not wait. You know, it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yep. And it's just as much of a need for him as it is for her.
Yeah. They are both feeding off of each other in just this circular, like grossness.
I wonder how he's doing in prison. When they're, because they don't have each other anymore. So I wonder, I mean, cutting that off, I mean, that's like cutting a limb off. That's like cutting your second head off, you know, at that age where they've been that, you know, co-intermingled and enmeshed for that long. I wonder how she's doing with it too. You know, I mean, that's a weird to have that person just cut off from you suddenly.
Because Koberger can talk to his mom, right?
I don't know what the rules are with when he can be on the phone or when he can't be. He was quite a bit in jail. There was a lot there, but in this sort of a confinement, I don't know that he has a lot of. I think it's very restrictive.
Gotcha.
But I could be wrong. I could be wrong on that, but I cannot. How does
that work if your significant other, for lack of a better term, if they are incarcerated as well? How does that work?
Well, it kind of depends on the penal system you're in and the prison system that you're dealing with. For example, the Richard Allen case, Kathy hasn't had a chance to talk to him in a long time.
Boy, that's messed up.
And it's not because she doesn't want to.
Yeah. There's some other stuff going on.
Well, it's because you get into those prison systems and suddenly there is, the law is the prison, the private prison system, and whatever who's employed there wants to make up the rules for.
Yeah.
So there, it becomes the Wild West at that point. So it's screwed up. And that's why there's no clear answer for that question in any given system or place. Some are very, you know, you can communicate, some not at all. Some it's by the level of your incarceration, and then it's by state and, you know, all of that. So, yeah, the big answer is I don't know to that.
Understood.
But, there you go. Donna Adelson, another week in the books, or the first week in the books. God, this feels like it's been going on longer.
Yeah, it does. You thought Karen Reed was a long one. This one feels longer.
It does, but it's very intriguing. This is not boring. I really, I mean, not in any disrespect to Dan Markell, I'm enjoying this one. It's fascinating to watch from a legal perspective and breaking down the psychology of someone.
I was going to say the psychological aspect is what's getting me, that the dysfunction of this family. I had an overbearing grandmother on my dad's side.
Yeah.
And she didn't go to these lengths, but boy, she edged up to the edge of this a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
The way she controlled part of the family. And when my mom and dad got divorced, her fangs came out. So I just don't think she had it in her to kill anybody. But if she would have had that inclination, my mom would have been dead a long time ago.
People are only as dangerous as their means.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to watch. A lot of times I just sit back and go, wow, that's my grandma.
Yeah. No, and I think that's what makes this a case like this very relatable, is because a lot of people have a Donna Adelson in their life somewhere.
Mm-hmm, somewhere.
Somewhere, shape, or form, or did. And you're, yeah. Because there's nobody rooting for the Donna Adelson other than Donna Adelsons out there.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones who are looking at Donna, I mean, and that's probably a very telling thing. Go into a Hobby Lobby at about, 11 a.m. on a Tuesday and walk around and ask, some of the folks, hey, this Donna Adelson case, and the folks that respond, and see how many are on track with Donna and how many are like, she's evil.
Well, Hobby Lobby is ground zero, is what you're saying.
I don't know. I'm just, Joanne Fabrics, but they're closed.
Yeah, they're not open anymore.
Joanne probably would have been a better choice, quite honestly. Yeah, but so I think you probably got to go to the Joanne or the Hobby. Is there any other national
Michaels?
Michaels.
That's Michaels is still in business.
Not bad. We don't have a Michaels here, but I like Michael. I like their Halloween stuff, but
of course you do.
At Home, that's a good one.
Yeah,
closing tons of stores
at our area.
Yeah. Anyway, well, there you go. That's the latest on Donna Adelson. And by the way, this whole thing, this live concept that we're not doing live on this episode, but going forward we are, 10 a.m. Central, Monday through Friday, Hidden Killers on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and you will find us right there. You can watch us live. You can interact. There will be chatting. There will even be phone calls from time to time. So mark it on your calendar if you want a new way to wake up in the morning other than today. Or what's on at 10 a.m. on The View? I don't know. Price is Right.
It's The View.
If you'd like to do something other than Price is Right or The View and you want this live, 10 a.m. Central, Monday through Friday.
We could get the Price is Right audience too if we do some pricing games in the middle of it. You know, I'll bring out some
giveaway prizes.
I have that Plinko game right out there. No, I literally do. I have a coin pusher machine, like really from an arcade. And it plays like there's the wheel. It does the whole thing. If you get like enough coins down the chute, like you're going to play a pricing game. There's Plinko. There's the goat guy that walks up the hill. And there's the safe thing too. Have I ever sent you a picture of that, Todd?
Yeah, you sent me a video of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah, we could do that. We could play pricing games. I like that.
I love that. Whenever we need a little break from something, we want to give away some prizes, Tony, grabs the long microphone and walks in the other room.
I got to get like a mobile camera that we can do that with. Okay. Well, there you go. That's also on my to-do list. All right. Well, join us for that, shall you? All right. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section. Press subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. And until next time, for Todd and Stacy, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help, you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.